Welcome to the Payment Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And on today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at resolving the gap in dispute resolution and analysis. And to help me with this conversation, I have Patrick Kelly, who is the Vice President of Product Management for the Cyber and Intelligent Solutions at MasterCard, and Tim Sloan, who is the VP of Payments Innovation at Mercator Advisory Group. In addition, we'll also be taking a look at the trends that are driving current chargeback volumes and how MasterCard is collaborating with the industry to fix these issues. We'll also be getting into how MasterCard is leveraging their recent acquisition of New Data Security and Ethoca to help fix chargebacks. So there's a lot of data to unpack during this episode, so without any further delay, let's start the show. So Patrick and Tim, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. So for this first question directed at you, Patrick, is a bit of a multi-parter. So for the first part, what are the current market trends that are driving chargeback volumes? And also, why is this a focus for MasterCard?
So hi, thanks for having me today. Excited to be here. We're definitely in exciting times in the payments world. A lot is changing. Obviously, with the growth in e-commerce and digital payments, instant gratification and consumers wanting to pay how they want to pay, when they will pay, it's important for us to really be enabling a good consumer experience, but not lose that trust of the consumer. So ensuring that they feel it's secure and that it's actually secure. So with that, usually we're always talking about approval rates, acceptance, but MasterCard looks at kind of the full journey of that cardholder experience. So it doesn't just stop when the cardholder makes that payment and completes their order. It's oftentimes about what is that experience after the transaction. And that's where we can get into sometimes when things go awry and not quite as planned. That's where chargebacks and dispute resolution come in. And chargebacks and dispute resolution have been around for decades. Not much has changed in this space. And it's not really built to support the growth and potential volume that e-commerce will be bringing to this process. So we're taking a serious look at how chargebacks work at MasterCard today. We know it's not built sufficiently to support some of the challenges that are in the digital space, whether that's things like first party or friendly fraud, or other prevalent issues in that corridor. In addition, it's a long process. It's a high touch process. There's a lot of operational expense there. So MasterCard's really starting to think a lot differently around, you know, what should chargebacks look like in the future? What role should they play? And is there a better way and more efficient way to allow merchants, acquirers, and issuers to resolve disputes when they arise from cardholders?
And, you know, another thought about all of that and the overall impact of dispute management is how it's connected to customer loyalty. A survey that was conducted by Zendesk indicates that 69% of customers that had a dispute actually had a positive attitude about that company as long as the dispute was resolved quickly. And the converse of that, 65% of customers indicate a negative experience with the company, blame that negative experience on a slow resolution of a dispute. So managing disputes directly impacts customer satisfaction, which needs to be considered as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And MasterCard, you know, wants to ensure that for all participants in the payments value chain, that we're giving the right tools and capabilities to resolve customer disputes and resolve them efficiently, because that does impact a consumer sentiment with their bank or with their shopping experience at their merchant. So that's why MasterCard doesn't just look at the payment transaction itself. We look at before the transaction and after the transaction. So really that full life cycle of the payment journey. And I know the topic of today is really after the transaction or when dispute resolution arises. So yeah, that's a key focus for here at MasterCard. We think it's a good competitive advantage for us to deliver a better consumer experience. Because ultimately what's in place today, it's not sustainable. So we want to enable the ecosystem to be more efficient with their dispute resolution. And we think that's going to be largely enabled by a better data exchange and a more efficient data exchange. That's really what is going to be the key to unlocking the strength of collaboration between merchants and issuers. Today, you know, like I said before, it's a high touch process. It's really just kind of kicking the can and throwing it over the fence and hoping for the best. But we know with the rise in volume and some of the challenges that are going to remain in digital e-commerce for some time, that in order to enable a better consumer experience, we're going to need to unlock that data exchange between merchants and issuers. So we're already doing that today. I'm sure we'll talk about it during this discussion, and we're seeing some great results around what happens when we bring this dispute resolution out of the legacy process and bring it to the forefront to enable a near real-time collaboration.
No, Patrick, thank you so much for those insights there. And I'm glad that you brought up the MasterCard competitive advantage. So the question that I have for you is, what is MasterCard doing to ensure the digital payment experience is preserved and some of the unfavorable trends are reversed?
Sure. So there's a lot for banks and merchants to think about with, you know, what is my strategy to enable a good consumer experience? You know, there's lots of tools out there. There's lots of pieces in the process they can tweak and customize. So it can get quite confusing quite quickly, and it's hard to prioritize and figure out where do I invest. So MasterCard came up with a strategy called Connected Intelligence, and that's really about the entire cardholder journey from before the transaction, during the transaction, and then afterwards. And primarily, MasterCard is operated within the payment transaction itself, right? That's our core business. So that MasterCard is very good at switching billions of transactions from issuers to merchants globally. What we haven't done in the past is really done a good job around thinking about that journey before the transaction happens and then ensuring that if things don't go as planned, how do we resolve that cardholder dispute as quickly as efficiently as possible to enable that consumer experience to still be sustained. So as an organization, we've increased our focus and investment in these two pieces of the cardholder journey. So with our acquisition of NuData about 2.5 years ago, we got into the payments agnostic space. So this is all around login. This is around account creation. This is around securing digital environments and ensuring that good users can be identified as good users and bad actors can be identified as bad actors. Again, this is nothing to do with the payment, but this is it all kind of links together because if we can ensure that we have a good user, whether that's looking at their IP, perhaps how they use the platform itself, then we can ensure a better payment experience once they get to that piece of the value chain. And then after the transaction, we've done a massive rewrite of our MasterCom dispute platform here. So that's the platform that actually facilitates chargebacks and disputes at MasterCard. So we did a big rewrite of that platform. So we made it more efficient. We consolidated several platforms. We put a rules engine in place to make sure that we're limiting the noise that's coming into the ecosystem. And then we also acquired a company called Ethoca. And what Ethoca does, and we'll get into more of this, is it really does a great job of enabling dispute collaboration between issuers and merchants. And Ethoca is going to play a key role in how MasterCard thinks about dispute resolution in the future, and it's going to be integrated in our platforms, but it's going to remain a brand agnostic platform as well. So we're really excited about Connected Intelligence journey. We think that it does a nice job of really taking in all the different pieces and potential vulnerabilities of the cardholder experience to secure it. And then by securing it, we can ensure that it's a frictionless experience and a good experience for the consumer.
Yeah, that's very cool. As a technologist, the opportunities to use these technologies, the SRC framework that MasterCard can leverage to be able to collect and have access to more data during the purchase itself, and then with Ethoca being able to connect to the merchant as a parent with a child in college, you know, it helps a lot if I'm able to see on the statement where the item was shipped to, who it was that actually made the purchase. So when I see that odd transaction, I can kind of click myself and remember, oh, right, it's going to Amherst, Mass. That's Zoe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the challenges that chargebacks just weren't, you know, that process just wasn't built to support was cardholder confusion, you know, merchant descriptor conversion, friendly fraud. All these things are actually valid transactions that cardholders are disputing more and more today in the digital space. Because you think about it, we have our card on file in a million different places. We may even share that with our kids, like the example you gave. So it's really tough for us to reconcile as humans looking data that can be confusing on our, you know, mobile banking apps or cardholder statements. So that's a big focus area for us and a big, I think, pain point for consumers that really trips them up in terms of having a good experience. So providing that contextual information at the point of inquiry from the cardholder, we think is going to really help mitigate a lot of disputes that are entering the ecosystem today.
Excellent. Now, I'm glad, Patrick, that you brought up the recent acquisitions of New Data Security and Ethoca, and I'd like to get in more to that Ethoca acquisition a little bit later. But earlier in this episode, we had talked about the post-transaction piece of it, and I'd like to dive into that a little bit deeper. And so before our call today, you had shared with me a great chart that we'll be able to display for those who are following along on paymentjournal.com. You can find that in the slider above or in the article below. So if you could, we'd like to kind of break down that chart. And then also, what does collaboration between merchants and issuers look like from your perspective at MasterCard?
Yeah, absolutely. So we think about it in really three core pieces that are critical to unlocking what we call dispute collaboration. So those three parts that'll be key for success here are moving the legacy chargeback system upfront. And what we mean by that is let's not rely on an antiquated chargeback system. Let's on dispute collaboration. And collaboration happens upfront and more upstream. So we'll be moving that typical back and forth between the merchant and issuer before the chargeback process. The next piece is really around rich data sharing. So the example used before of looking at, you know, at your cardholder statement and being able to click on it and get more information, that's contextual information that we're trying to unlock for our issuers to have that digital dialogue with their cardholders to remove valid transactions from being disputed. So that type of scenario is going to be enabled by rich data sharing. And then lastly, this needs to scale. It needs to be brand agnostic. We need mass issuer and merchant participation for this really to take hold and for cardholders to start using this in their everyday use of their account and banking card management. So those are kind of the three pillars we think about that are key to the success of unlocking dispute collaboration. And then how we think about dispute collaboration is in this funnel type image that I believe you're showing. So if you think about this funnel, it's very big at the top and it gets smaller towards the bottom. So here's how we want cardholder disputes to actually progress in the future. So as you go down the funnel, the need for a chargeback gets less and less. And by the bottom, we're hopefully have resolved that dispute where a chargeback is not even needed. So we're hoping, you know, 5 to 10% of the time is maybe when a chargeback is needed, but there's all these other opportunities to actually resolve it before the need for a chargeback. So let me walk you through kind of what that journey looks like. This is something we're really excited about to enable between merchants and issuers. So if I'm a cardholder, typically I go to my bank to see, you know, what types of transactions are within my transaction history. What am I going to be responsible for paying at the end of the month? So I'm logging into my mobile banking app. Maybe I'm looking at my statement. Perhaps I'm even calling my bank. So what we're doing there is we want to enable a more contextual dialogue between the issuer and the merchant. So this is giving information that's not traditionally delivered in a mobile banking experience to that consumer. So things like what I actually bought at the merchant, the device that was used, the username, what was the IP address, what was the date around that, because typically today I just get a merchant descriptor, which can be good or it can be really confusing, and I may not even know what merchant that is. So giving more contextual information about the transaction, cleaning up the merchant name, and making it a recognizable transaction to the consumer is a goal here at MasterCard. So that can be delivered in a mobile banking app and can be delivered between a call center rep and the cardholder, because we want to be enabling the issuer call center to actually have that dialogue as well and be able to inquire and double click on that transaction when needed. The next two pieces around direct issuer connection and the merchant network are really core to avoiding chargebacks in the future. So this is kind of a what we almost call like a pre-chargeback. So this is when there is a legitimate cardholder dispute. They don't recognize the transaction. Either goods weren't delivered. It could be a non-fraud scenario, or it could be a right, where there's account takeover. And this is where the issuer is actually able to send the merchant a real-time signal saying, hey, we have a problem here. There's an opportunity for you to resolve this. And typically that takes the form of a refund. Do you want to go ahead and do that? If not, you know, this may in fact turn into a chargeback. So this allows for a more efficient exchange. It's much less high touch. There's a lot less OpEx due to that. So this is something we'll be integrating into our core chargeback process to ensure that every type of dispute has the opportunity to be more efficiently resolved without the need for a chargeback.
You know, obviously MasterCard has the technology chops to be able to make this entirely scalable. What's going to be interesting also is MasterCard's influence over the financial institutions and merchants to help them maximize the benefits from this. It's a change in the process on both ends, and so both parties need to have a desire to participate. The benefits are obvious to the consumer, to loyalty, customer satisfaction, and the like. So one would expect this to be adopted relatively quickly, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the market.
Yeah, absolutely. And to really drive home that scale piece, I mean, Ethoca has done a great job with developing and creating the largest dispute collaboration network globally. So they have, you know, about 5,000 issuers and about 7,000 merchants on their network, and that's for brand agnostic cardholder dispute resolution. So MasterCard is kind of taking this asset to the next level and integrating it into our own dispute network. So every MasterCard issuer will get the benefit of Ethoca that is not already using Ethoca today. And that increases the value on the merchant side as well. So any merchant that has a relationship with Ethoca will now have a greater value exchange now that MasterCard is bringing all these issuers to the table.
Yeah, that's a better than a first start. That's really making inroads into the market with those numbers. You know, the result of an account takeover is typically a purchase that the issuer flags to the cardholder. And, you know, the cardholder will respond electronically through the mobile app or by making a call to the issuer's call center saying that that's not them. And it's interesting how a solution like this can help the merchant actually stop shipment before it gets pushed out the door. My family actually experienced this recently, and not only did we have to wait until 3 days until after the transaction had taken place, the item had already shipped, and the merchant was clearly in the dark regarding the account takeover that had taken place. And so being able to speed up the communications between the merchants, issuers, and the cardholder is likely to really help in that account takeover environment as well.
Yeah, there's a huge value prop for physical good merchants here, obviously. I mean, traditionally, merchants and issuers have done their fraud management and identification in silos. So oftentimes, we really have to explain to merchants, no, this is a real-time fraud signal. This is confirmed fraud from the cardholder. So it's nothing predictive. It's actually something you can take real action on and save on, you know, the loss of the inventory, the loss of the transaction cost, avoid the potential chargeback OPEX. So it's a huge win for these merchants. And some of these merchants today are actually using this data to improve their own fraud models. So if they know specific cards or specific types of activities are continuing to generate these types of signals, they can be more dynamic with shifting, you know, how they identify fraud and identify fraud more quickly.
Absolutely. You know, the head start that Ethoca has with the 4,500 issuers and 7,000 merchants is an awesome market position. A lot of that has been accomplished because of their neutrality in the market. They're supporting this across different network brands. I trust that growth will continue through that neutrality position.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the fifth pillar, right, to success. This needs to be not a MasterCard-only solution. We know that's what merchants need, and that's what, you know, dual issuers need, which many are today. So that's really what we think has made Ethoca such a market leader today, because they really do solve a pain point regardless of what card, you know, that cardholder shopped with. So that's MasterCard's full intention to keep Ethoca a brand agnostic provider today and continuing to deliver the benefits they do so well with some of the merchants in the physical goods space, but increasingly more on the digital goods space. So with the friendly fraud aspect, but these large digital good merchants have a brand agnostic friendly fraud problem across all brands, not just MasterCard, not just, you know, some of our other competitors as well. So we're very excited around this data exchange that Ethoca is going to be able to deliver from a brand agnostic standpoint across any card, any product type, saying, you know, hey, like, you may not think you made this transaction, but here's some transaction level information just to remind you to see if this jogs your memory to say, well, maybe he's your kid, you know, maybe he bought something within a mobile app or video game on his mobile device. And we can actually tell the consumer what device was used, what username was used, what time of day, and give that spend and account history that specific user has with that merchant. So those are powerful insights. And we're hoping that we're enabling almost a self-service model so that it almost becomes automated for merchants and issuers. So if a cardholder has a question, they can inquire, get that contextual information, and that should be enough actually to remove a lot of this friendly fraud noise in the ecosystem.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating since the secure remote commerce implementations that are moving into the market actually have access to at least some of that data. It'll be interesting to see how you can utilize that to be able to collect data and drive it directly into the Ethoca platform and start providing benefits regardless of the card issuer.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, we're just enabling different points of collaboration here. So with the advent of EMV 3DS, you know, there's a lot of focus around that before the transaction and enabling a rich data exchange between the issuer and merchant. Tokenization, which is core to what the industry now calls our secure remote commerce, that also is a fairly rich data exchange between the issuer and merchant. So we're seeing when this trust is established between merchants and issuers, it allows for a better transaction experience. So higher approvals. If things do go awry, it's not, you know, everyone pointing a finger at one another and looking at, you know, who owns the liability of this transaction. There's truly a collaboration there. And we see today, you know, issuers are actually able to get recovery on transactions where they don't have liability rights for that chargeback, and vice versa with merchants. So we're trying to make this more of a collaboration that is really supported by data at different points in the payment value chain. And that tide should really raise all boats because we're really trying to enable a better consumer experience here. We're trying to grow acceptance and make sure that every good transaction has the best possible chance of getting approved and that every dispute can be efficiently resolved as quickly as possible.
No, so certainly very interesting insights there. So now, since we're talking a lot about Ethoca, my next question is, what are the next steps that MasterCard and Ethoca are taking to pursue this vision around dispute resolution, and what should the audience be thinking about over the next 12 months?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we're in kind of the first phase of our Ethoca acquisition integration. So I mentioned that we'll be affording every issuer the opportunity to have their chargebacks resolved via the Ethoca network, thus removing the need for the chargeback itself. So that we actually turned on in October of this year. So Ethoca's vast merchant network is actually powering our dispute collaboration within our MasterCom tool. So every chargeback that comes into MasterCom will be sent to Ethoca to see if a merchant is able to resolve that before it becomes a chargeback. So we actually turned that on October. We're already seeing phenomenal results. And by April of next year is when we'll have the entire MasterCard issuer community actually sending chargeback volume to Ethoca. So this is great for getting chargebacks out of the system. This is great for merchants on the Ethoca network. And we think it will attract new merchants to the Ethoca network that perhaps needed to see more scale before they join the party. The other things we're excited to do is open up collaboration, not just between purely merchants and issuers and processors, but also look at other segments that we think will help get the long tail of merchants participating in Bew collaboration. So those could be integrated software vendors like ISVs. It could be some of the payment facilitators. It could be acquirers. Some of these segments we feel like are untapped and are really ripe for driving market adoption in that long tail of merchants. So we're going to be laser focused on how do we continue to scale, how do we bring dispute collaboration to all merchants and all issuers, and that we continue to really flop the process on its head and say, hey, like, you've been using chargebacks in the past. We want you to do dispute collaboration in the future. And that's what we're going to be able to do to enable that.
That collection and analysis of data across all of the participants certainly is a huge opportunity to detect fraud early, to be able to manage the transaction, to be able to support the cardholder, and solve significant problems that exist. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's something that is long overdue. We know it's critical piece to the digital payments puzzle. You know, there's a lot of focus on how you pay and devices you pay with and, you know, IoT and connected devices. But just as important as we bring in all that new volume and new devices and new payment channels is, you know, how do we continue to make sure the customer experience is good? And dispute resolution is a key part of that. So fighting friendly fraud, delivering that digital receipt information at scale to cardholders, and continuing to enable more efficient dispute resolution between merchants and issuers will be key to that.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Patrick and Tim, for taking the time today for speaking to me about MasterCard's strategy to fix chargebacks, and I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks for having us.